This week on Hands-On Photography, I'm going to show you how to take your photograph and turn it into a beautiful painterly masterpiece. Stay tuned. Hands-On Photography is brought to you from LastPass Studios. Access everything you need online simply and securely wherever you're logging in from. LastPass makes security for your digital life effortless. Visit lastpass.com/twit.
This is Twit.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I am Matt Pruitt, and this is Hands-On Photography here on Twit TV. Hope y'all are doing well. I'm unbelievable, as always. I'm very happy to be here, to be able to sit in front of this camera and share with you different tips and tricks that are going to help make you a better photographer, as well as a better post-processor. And today, we're definitely going to focus more on that post-processing side in this particular lesson. Now, if this is your first time checking out the show, first off, welcome and thank you. And next, I'd like for you to go ahead and hit that subscribe option in your favorite podcatcher of choice, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Google or what have you. We're available on all of those different platforms. And if you can't find us there, just go to the website, twit.tv/hop. That's twit.tv/HOP for Hands-On Photography. And you'll see all of our different subscription options available to you there. Thank you all for the tremendous support, and thank you for sharing the show each and every week and helping to grow the Hands-On Photography community. It's been a lot of fun, and I just can't wait to keep sharing more and more tips and tricks with all of you. All right, so with that out of the way, let's go ahead and get into this week's episode. Now, first off, I want to say thank you, because, man, last week's episode, episode 37, where I asked the question about, you know, why are you into photography? And I asked for your feedback. Ooh, boy, you all brought it. Good grief, you brought it. And I can't really get to all of them. There is one that I'd like to get to today that I thought I'd share, but I'm probably going to revisit this in a future episode as part of a, let's say, a listener feedback dedicated show, something like that. You know, so we'll hit this one remark today that I got over on Instagram. And if you're not following me on Instagram, why aren't you following me on Instagram? Go to Instagram.com and search for Ant Pruitt. My handle is Ant_Pruitt, and just give me a follow over there and just check out everything that I'm sharing. You'll see a lot of behind the scenes stuff that I do in the day to day when I try to set up shots and set up the studio and things like that. So go check me out over there. But now let me pick up my phone and pull up this message that I got from Mr. Nate Blakely over on Instagram. Be sure to follow him. His account is Nate Blakely. We'll have it on the screen and linked in the show notes to give him a follow on Instagram, because he's a very, very nice landscape photographer, amongst other things. Okay, so he says, just saw Hop over on YouTube number 35, where he asked why I shoot. I said in the comments, I shoot because it's my only love. I shoot daily because I want to be good. I want to make art, which makes it hard to make money in photography. In general, it's hard to get a job, and a photography job is just as hard. Thank you for being so conversational. I've learned a good amount from you. Man, hey, Nate, thank you, my man. I appreciate that. And you're right on this message here. It is pretty difficult to get a job nowadays, regardless of what it is that you're getting into. And the photography side of things and being able to get paid to do photography, it is extremely tough. And I don't think a lot of people get that, because you have the aspect of people thinking, OK, well, you got a fancy new camera phone. You can just snap the picture and boom, it's a beautiful image. Yeah. And no, doesn't always work that way. And then you have the camp that says, all right, or you're only taking my picture with an iPhone, so I shouldn't have to pay you but X amount of dollars. I shouldn't have to pay you what you're wanting me to pay you. That's another problem. So it's two different spectrums there. And getting paid and doing this as a full-time job is pretty challenging. And if you're not prepared to be able to handle the business side of things, you're definitely not going to make it. Let alone being prepared to be skilled enough at the craft to even draw interest, to have people even want to think about using you for any of their projects that they got coming up, or just using you for providing art inside of their homes. It's simple as that. So you got to get the skills, and you also got to be able to understand the business side of things. But yeah, it's doable, but not easy. Okay. Thank you again. Make sure you give him a follow over on Instagram. That's Mr. Nate Blakely. I'll have his tag pop up on the screen, and we'll link to him in our show notes. Now, so let's get into this week's discussion. I want to reference back to episode 36, where we talked about HDR. I tried to explain to you what exactly HDR is. And I referenced one of my favorite photographers, Mr. Trey Ratcliffe. I'm going to show this screen with his image here. This is not an HDR image that most people tend to confuse. And what's going on with this particular image is what's called a painterly effect. Now, granted, he does have pretty good dynamic range, but the post-processing on it is a painterly effect. If you look closer at the screen, you can tell that he's standing in this huge, beautiful meadow, and there's lots of green grass just sort of hanging out and blowing around in the scene. But the closer you look at those, the blades of grass are a little bit softer. They're not really, really crispy and full of detail. It's enough detail to know that it's there, but it's softened up to sort of change the mood, if you will. And that's what painterly is. If you look at other painterly images, it allows you to see the details of something, but it also just sort of softens up and just gives you this bit of a warm and fuzzy feeling. Or sometimes, depending on the scene, it'll look sort of mystical and like a fantasy, if you will. Now, there's a couple ways that you can go about creating a painterly effect for yourself. I'm going to close the screen over here. There's a couple ways you can go about creating a painterly effect for your images, but there's some things that you have to consider. First off, the more details in the image to start out, the better this effect is going to work. And secondly, the concept behind the painterly effect is maximizing the details, as in the sharpness and clarity, and then smoothing out just enough to soften it up. And that's where it comes into moving back on the clarity slider or the texture slider or the sharpness slider just enough, or even adding a bit of noise correction on there. Because when you correct the noise in the images, that grain starts to soften out. Those pixels start to flatten out just a touch. And again, it depends on the images that you're using. This effect is not going to work for everything. So be mindful of it. You can do this on portraits. You can do this on landscapes, which is where you're going to see this the most. And I have a couple images here, but I'm going to show you one in particular that I wanted to work with as an example. This can be done in Lightroom. This could also be done in Photoshop. I think it works best inside of Photoshop because it gives you a little bit more control to do some selective adjustments. Sorry for hitting my mic there, but you can do some selective adjustments more so inside of Photoshop, in my opinion. But yeah, let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to go ahead and show you my screen here, and we'll get rolling on this photograph. And this is a shot I took some time back. I want to say it was sometime last year during the fires here in Northern California. But scary times. But this was a beautiful scene. And I've already done a good bit of the post-processing already. If you take a look over here on the right-hand side of my screen here in Lightroom, you can see I've adjusted the exposure, contrast, so on and so forth. Now, the main things that we had to consider: the actual detail and the texture and clarity of this shot. I've already adjusted the texture and clarity, and I believe I've also adjusted the sharpness down here. Okay, so let's go ahead and reset those values and just start fresh with those values. And as you look at this image, the details, when I zoom in on it, the details are there, but they could stand, you know, a little bit more adjustment and a little bit more pop. So that's why I'd like to go ahead and start with the sharpness on it. And I don't know if I've shared this with y'all before, but inside of Lightroom, as well as inside of Adobe Camera Raw, the sharpening tool has a couple of different options. And this first option that I like to mess around with is called the masking. And if you hold down the control key on your keyboard and slide that, not the control the key, the alt key, it's option on a Mac, and slide that masking slider, you'll notice that you get all of these white lines and black lines on the screen. And as you slide this, the slider up to its highest value, the screen gets a little bit more black and less white. And those white areas is what the sharpening tool is going to try to target. So if I slide it all the way back to zero, that's saying, you know what, we're going to apply sharpening to everywhere on the scene because the whole scene is signified in white. And the more I move it while holding down the Alt or Option key, it starts to target specific areas for sharpening. I typically go anywhere between 70 and 85%, something like that. So we'll just go with, we'll say about 70, 71 for today's shot. Because we have in the foreground this grass, we had the background, middle of the scene, the tree has a bunch of leaves on it. So I want some details to show up there. And I'll just push the sharpening appropriately up higher to get more details there. And that looks pretty good so far. The sharpening options inside of Photoshop are better, but this is just a good start. So we'll hop on up to our texture and clarity sliders and bring these up. So let's start with the clarity, because the clarity is going to add some contrast. And by adding contrast, it's going to make things stand out just a bit more because it's putting some black around the colors to make it really more bold and vibrant. So we're going to push that clarity up a good bit and just sort of be judicious with it here. So I've pushed it up to about 70. Now notice the tree leaves now. There's a lot more detail showing up when I zoom in on it. Okay. And then the texture slider. This is similar to the high pass filter inside of Photoshop. I like the texture slider for a lot of things, but it's not my end all be all. If I really want to get into sharpening, I'd much rather get inside of Photoshop and use the high pass filter and use my Photoshop action that I built in there to do a lot of sharpening. We talked about Photoshop actions on a previous episode. You can check that out. And I'll walk you through how to set one up. Okay, so back to the screen. So I'm going to push the texture slider up just a little bit. And you'll notice now this scene looks really, really good in general. I mean, this is a nice landscape scene. Everything is in focus that needs to be in focus. There's detail shown here in the bottom right corner of the grass and hay and things. The trees, leaves are nice and crispy. This works, but that's not the painterly effect. The painterly effect now is going to say, hey, we need to soften things up just a touch, but leave detail. Okay, so now that we know we have a starting ground, what I'd like to do is play around with the actual clarity slider here and just take it back. And what's going to happen is some of the contrast is going to leave. And it's going to soften up the image just enough. But see, if you go too far, it makes it a little bit muddy. And we don't want that. So we want to push it back to where it doesn't look all muddy and blurry, but have just enough detail. Okay, so right about -9 on the clarity. So we still have some detail there and it's still a little bit sharper. And then I'm going to push the texture up just a little bit more. Okay. And that works and it looks okay. But again, for my taste, I think I can get a lot more control with this inside of Photoshop. So instead, I am going to just reset all of these sharpening values. And I'm going to right click and say edit inside of Photoshop. There it goes. All right. So now, as I mentioned previously, I have an action inside of Photoshop that's going to do some sharpening for me. So I'm just going to fire up that action and it'll add all of the additional layers and it's going to sharpen this image up for me. That's going to look more typical for a landscape image. Okay. So now the action is done. And if I do a before and after, just look at the difference in detail. So this is the before, and then this is the after. So much more detail here. Now that I've done all of my sharpening and Photoshop has created all of these extra layers for me in a group, I'm just going to, we'll just do it for demo's sake. I'm going to make a copy of this group just in case something horribly goes wrong. Always think in non-destructive post-processing. Okay, so now I'm going to merge this group so it's its own little layer. And what I like to do is take two different layers here, make one layer a sharp copy and make another layer a soft, blurry little bit copy. So we'll duplicate our layer one more time. Control J or Command J if you're on a Mac. And I'm going to name this layer here Blur. And we'll go ahead and just turn off this top layer. And we're going to make this bottom layer blurry with the Gaussian blur. And we're really going to crank it up. We'll say to roughly 6 or 7 pixels, because that's really softening in the scene. Then I'll click OK. And now for this top layer, I'm going to add what we call a layer mask. And we talked about layer mask way back in, say, episode 12 or so. Check that out. Now click the layer mask option here on the bottom. I'm going to press B on my keyboard for the brush tool. And the standard rule of thumb inside of layer mask is if you want to hide, if you want to reveal what's on the underside, on the below level, you paint black. So I'm going to switch to black on my paintbrush. And I'm going to paint black where I want to try to soften the scene a little bit. So I'm going to give myself a nice big brush here. And I'm just going to dab a little bit on the leaves. I'm going to dab a little bit down here on this foliage, as well as across the fence. Just painting black. And what that's doing is revealing that lower layer, that blur layer. It's revealing that and softening up just those particular spots that I paint on. Because sometimes I want that detail to be there on the image, but not quite everywhere. So let's soften this just a touch right here. And even here on the left of the frame where this grass has all of this beautiful detail, let's just soften that up just a little bit too. Okay. There. And right now I'm not using my Wacom tablet. I'm using a mouse, and that is so aggravating. I'm so used to using my stylus, but I'm going to continue to use the mouse just for now. And you just sort of dab your brush on the scene where you see fit. All right, so now let's group this together so we can get a good before and after. Okay, so this is what it looked like before. And this is the after. So now, like I said, we have just a little bit more detail showing up in the tree. I think I brushed a little too much, so I'm going to put some of that detail back. Right there. There we go. So now that's before and that's after. I'm gonna brush out some more on these leaves at the bottom. I'm gonna go overboard like that to where it's super blurry. Then I'm gonna go back and just dab in the detail slightly. There. So now that is it, folks. That is a nice painterly effect, not to be confused with HDR. So when you're searching around on Instagram for HDR, you're going to see some pretty vibrant images on there. And just because they're vibrant and have all of this mystical glow and softness to it, that doesn't make it HDR. HDR is a whole different ball of wax. Painterly effect is what we're talking about today. And that's what you see here on your screen. Again, just worry more about the texture, the noise, and the sharpness of it. Just finding that perfect balance to help you figure out how to get that effect working for you. Now on this image, I could do a whole lot more post-processing. I could probably boost the saturation. I could probably add a couple special effects and things like that, which is typically what most people do. But this is the baseline to help get you started with using getting a painterly effect. All right. So that's going to do it for this week's show, folks. I hope this has been helpful for you all. And now you're going to be able to just sit down at your workstation and start playing around with a bit of a painterly effect. There are some apps out there that already have a filter like this built in, such as Snapseed. It's called the HDRscape filter. And it'll give you a bit of a painterly effect just playing around with the different sliders. It's pretty easy to use. But if you want to have a lot more control, I highly suggest doing selective adjustments, as we've talked about previously here on the show, to go in and fine tune where you want the blur, where you want the crispy spots, and just really make your masterpiece really shine. All right. That's it. We'll do this all again next week here on Twit TV. Thank you all for the tremendous support as always. I look forward to doing this every week. Make sure you're following me on Twitter and Instagram. I am @_Pruitt. And make sure you're subscribed to the show again. It's twit.tv/hop for all of our subscription options. And make sure you're sharing the show out with others. And if you have some questions or comments and you want to reach out, again, you can reach out on social media, or you can do like most people are doing, shoot an email to hop@twit.tv. I'll do my best to answer them as soon as I can. And I try to answer every single one of them, but whew, y'all send a lot of emails and I love it. Thank you all. Thank you all so much for that. All right, folks, I will see you all next week here on Hands On Photography. But until then, you all safely create and dominate, and also be well and do well. We need that. Take care.
Hey, I'm Jason Howell, host of Hands On Android, a techie look at how to customize your Android device, as well as take a look underneath the hood and see what's really going on down there. You can subscribe by going to twit.tv/HOA, or you can find Hands On Android in your podcatcher of choice.